This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au. This is Saturday Magazine. Joy 94.9, sometimes chaotic, flagship news, current affairs and lifestyle program. A healthy mix of local and national news, current affairs and lifestyle stories, all framed within a queer perspective. I'm Macca, good morning. It's Saturday, the 18th of November. I'll return to our normal acknowledgement next week, but for today, I'd like to acknowledge all the LGBTIQ folk, Joy 94.9, our straight allies, our friends, our colleagues, and all the people we've never met who've worked so hard for so long on achieving marriage equality. We should feel proud of the civil, balanced, informed and passionate campaign we're all part of. The size of the vote and the subsequent outpouring of happiness will not be forgotten. Let's all reflect just for a moment how historical Wednesday was. Equal means equal, and we proved that. First off, His Eminence, Lord Bollard, Robert Dolly Doyle, joins us to post the survey result. Good morning, Robert. Good morning, Tass.
Good morning, Macca.
Good morning, Macca.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Are you feeling flat?
No, not at all. I'm feeling positively pneumatic.
Ebullient.
Even that, yes.
So, Robert, how does it feel to preside over the largest yes vote in the nation?
Astonishing. And I must say I'm very proud. I think it is just a gigantic tick from a very diverse community. You know, if you think about that little bit that I have as my responsibility, it goes from East Melbourne to Kensington, you know, both great communities but completely different. You know, South Yarra to North Melbourne, in Carlton to Docklands, just different communities, 84% yes. Yeah. Remarkable. Highest vote in the nation.
So I did see a bit of an analysis about that and the seat of Melbourne as being, you know, largely it's a green seat now, of course, and it has been. It probably won't shift for a while, I would say. But it's been described as being a white, degreed, well-incomed.
Yes.
Yep. Are they characteristics of people who would vote yes?
Look, parts of the electorate, yes, but also very, very high proportion of young people in the city. And remember, these are very urbanised people. So our two densest suburbs in Melbourne are postcode 3000, you know, the centre of the city, and South Bank.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, highly urbanised, you're right, educated, you know, comparatively affluent, although there are pockets of disadvantage. Remember also, though, and I've heard some of the commentary around, you know, the west of Sydney, for instance, we do have significant pockets of disadvantage. If you think about how much public housing there is in North Melbourne, for instance, including a large Muslim population, you know, very large Muslim population and mosques, and yet 84%. So, yeah, look, I think it was a wonderful result overall. And as I think I said to you both on Wednesday, people perhaps don't understand politics. They look at it and they think, oh, nearly 62, nearly 38, gee, you know, 40%. No, no, in political terms, that is a complete and utter landslide.
Yeah.
You know, if that were two-party preferred in a federal or state election, you would have about, you know, a telephone booth in opposition. So don't worry about the percentages. Just think of it this way. In electoral terms, in voting terms, it's a landslide. And add to that, when you have a voluntary response like this, to have that enormous response, you know, far greater, for instance, than, you know, City of Melbourne elections or President of the United States elections in terms of participation. So, you know, just keep celebrating. Don't feel flat. Keep celebrating the fact that this is one of the most resounding shouts from the people of Australia that we've ever heard in Australian political
Robert,
life.
Robert, I know this is a little bit sort of twee, but I'm going to run with it anyway. There was a thing on social media during the week that said, if yes and no votes were political parties today, there'd be 133 yes MPs, 17 no MPs, and zero senators for no.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
I actually think it's great.
That's pretty good, yeah.
It is twee, and it is simplistic. I get that.
No, but still, it's very important to sort of explain that to people, because a lot of people don't understand that, you know, they look at it and they think, oh, you know, 60-40 in life, that might not be a huge disparity. In politics, it's a chasm, and that's what people need to understand.
Think back, Harold Holt's first election.
Yep.
And the 1975 election with Fraser, both of them were mid-50s.
Yep.
And that's after preferences.
Yep.
So, yeah, to have a gap of 20% is very, very significant.
Yep.
Very significant.
Robert, I did say during the week when we interviewed the Minister for Equality, I did actually acknowledge the role that the current government in Victoria have made and the contribution that they've made towards, you know, helping to achieve this very strong yes result in Victoria.
Yeah, they did.
The truth is that you've contributed to that as well.
I hope so. I said to you
I'm going to call it and I'm going to say yes. You have made a contribution.
I agree. Thank you.
And it's been echoed by one of our listeners here, Matt from Thornbury. Hello, Matt, who says, thank you, Robert Dorr, for your personal leadership and your council's leadership. It really makes a difference when our leaders speak up. So,
thank you, Matt. That's very, very kind. But as I said on Wednesday, it was a big team effort, and that was quite uplifting too. You know, it was a lengthy campaign, and it was a tough campaign for a lot of people. But it was a result that vindicated all of it, I think, which was great.
Doyle for PM.
No, thank you. No, why do you hate me so much? Why would you want to do that to me? You know, no, thank you.
I wanted to ask Robert. We saw James Patterson's bill, Senator James Patterson.
Yep. Sunk without trace.
Yep, Minister.
Did he go too far?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did he just do it to protect himself from Marcus Bastion in his Senate pre-selection?
I don't think so.
You don't think that's a factor?
No, I think you're very cynical, Macca, very cynical about politics. You know, it's the cleanest of
politics. I think you need to let our listeners know who this chap is.
Oh, Marcus Bastion is a young member of the Liberal Party. He has a position on the state executive, Robert.
On the admin committee, I think.
Yeah. He's very
ambitious,
very productive at joining new members up.
Yeah.
Let's just say there's a bit of.
Stop tippy-toeing. He's a part of the new, quite aggressive and assertive right wing of the Liberal Party among younger people.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Is he part of Karina Rokitina's team?
Yeah, well, you know, that is a movement, and you know, that's the reality. But look, that was ill-conceived from the beginning, and as I said, it sunk without trace.
Yeah. So that one went straight into the bin. Then we see Peter Dutton saying, look, let's just get this done, basically, and let's put the issue of religious freedoms off till next year. Why? I mean, I think I know why the Conservatives are perhaps a little bit in retreat at the moment on this issue in the Parliament. But why has Peter Dutton, probably the leading Conservative in the Liberal Party, the one you see, why has he done that? Why all of a sudden?
Macra, I think he can be too cynical and too suspicious. I think there is a groundswell that says, look, just get it done and get it out of the way. You know, what we're seeing up in the Parliament of Victoria at the moment are ridiculous scenes of all-night sittings and MPs being carted away in ambulances, you know, because they're exhausted.
But only because this government has increased the resources to the ambulance service.
God. You are an idiot, Macca.
I know.
Anyway, and see, that's what can happen if you sort of get all bogged down in amendments and what this means and, you know, clause 87B2 and, you know.
Yeah.
So I'd say just do it. Any politician who ignores this result, either now or in the future, does so at their electoral peril.
Yeah.
And so I'm not cynical about that. I'd rather see us get it done, get it out of the way, and then, you know, by all means, let's have a considered discussion about what protections might need to be in there. My view is that we have a Discrimination Act and many adequate protections, but, you know, I'm all for getting on and doing it now.
Good.
I think that that's a subject that we need to continue after this very short break. Now, stay tuned, because you're listening to Saturday Magazine.
No, you're listening to Cynical Magazine.
Cynical Magazine with Macca Tass and Robert Doyle. Stay tuned, because there's more.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
Now, we brought a little bit of joy during the week. There was a small gathering at the art gallery in Warrnambool, and it was written about in the local paper, and they tweeted...
The Standard, in fact.
The Standard. And you know what makes this so worthwhile, Robert?
What's that, Matt?
Is... I think it was 10 or 12 people that...
Oh, no, I can feel your your tears swelling up, Macca.
They chose to listen to the announcement on Joy.
Oh, that's good.
At the gallery.
And that makes... You know we have listeners from all over the world and all over Victoria. All
Look
over
at him,
Australia.
Robert. He's getting emotional again. No,
no. Anyway, okay. Well, it's fantastic. It's just fantastic.
No, that is great. We were saying before that that's one of the important functions of Joy, that it's a social connector, and it's a part of the social glue. That's one of your reasons for being, which is fantastic. Well, I just keep looking at you, Macca. Macca is a picture today. He's got a Joy Saturday Magazine T-shirt on, but I have to tell you, he looks like he's in one of the aisles at Bunnings.
Fiona,
you know,
Fiona,
he's in Bunnings green.
Fiona's going to take a picture of my polo and tweet it, because you reckon I could go up to Bunnings and...
you'd be serving sausages within 10 minutes. Don't worry about that.
Thank God I didn't wear mine today.
Yeah, I know. That was...
So,
now, can I just remind our listeners that you can engage with us in conversation. We love your texts. We love your emails.
We've got some
you can
nice
text
messages.
Us on 0427...
Oh, look at you holding the microphone again. Look at you.
569-94... That's because I need to lean over.
It's very old school, isn't it?
But I need to lean back to see the numbers on the back wall behind your head, Robert.
We're great at radio, aren't we? Talking about... you know, things that only we can see in the studio.
You can email us at onair@joy.org.au, or you can actually text us via the app. Now, a big thank you to 317. We always love hearing from you, and thank you for your lovely comments. And yes, like you, we also feel privileged and proud to live in the world's most livable city.
We do. One thing, and I don't want to go overboard on this too much, because I don't want to, you know, sort of pick the scab off, as it were, but one thing I've had to explain to a lot of communities is that, in a broader sense, Wednesday's vote was not about marriage equality. It was about whether we as a community were prepared to say to the LGBTI community, you are a part of us. You know, you're not separate, you are a part of us.
But Robert, I want to just unpack that a little bit, because you are exactly right. That's exactly what this became. It became a barometer of this society's, you know, preparedness to include LGBTI people in all facets of our society.
Absolutely.
But that's not what it was. It was about marriage equality. It became.
Yes.
It became that.
No, I agree with that.
And that's where a lot of people became quite disturbed
and I think that's quite right.
Because all of a sudden, my ability to participate in this society as an equal, it wasn't no longer about marriage, was questioned. And people were deciding that without consulting me.
Absolutely. I mean, there are a couple of great stories I've heard, you know, like imagine going to every household in the city of Melbourne and knocking on the door and saying, look, do you mind if I marry your daughter or your son? You know, it's rather a strange thing to do, isn't it? But look, that's true, Tass, but that's why Emma was telling me that on Facebook she noticed a number of her friends were concerned about the fact that, you know, nearly 40% is quite a large number, and that's why I'm so keen to get out the fact that, you know, that's not how it's represented. This is a landslide victory. It's a great affirmation. And for me, the other thing I wanted to talk about during the whole campaign was to say, look, we pride ourselves on being diverse and tolerant and, you know, a modern society. How can we say that if there is one area where one group in our community do not have the same rights as the rest of us? And you know Angie Green, and I've mentioned her before, a great friend of mine, most poignant, saying there are three of us in our family, two of us can get married and one can't. How is that fair? And those sort of messages to the broader general community, I think, resonated with them. Because, of course, for LGBTI people, this is something that they've lived with for many decades. For other people, you know, they came to this pretty fresh. And so it's even more remarkable that it was such a resounding result.
So, you know, Graham Richardson has a an interesting view on a lot of things. But one thing that he always says when he talks about elections and things is the mob get it right.
Yeah, I say that too. And the people never get it wrong.
Yeah, and the mob got this right.
Yep.
So one of the other things that interested me post the announcement of the results was that a number of your colleagues, mm-hmm. and in particular the wonderful member from Warringal, decided to
Warringa
is it? I apologise. Yep. It almost decided to lay claim to the victorious result.
Ah, well, you know, success has many parents. You know, failure is an only child. My impulse now is to be
get
as
on
generous,
with it.
Get on with it, but to be as generous as we possibly can and say to that 38%, look, you know, you've expressed your view, that was your entitlement, but now please join the rest of us in accepting what our society is.
And I agree, and I've actively in, you know, public discussions and private discussions said, you know what? We need to engage the people that voted no.
Absolutely.
We need to prove to them that it wasn't a case of us being right and them being wrong. It's a case of, you know, this is about equality. And the things that you want, you know, are so many of the things that we want. There are some things that divide us, but we do need to reach out and not demonise them, because
no, of course, no. We are unpacking. We are actually analysing what occurred, and this is probably one of the most important historical things for our communities in the nation, really, in the history of this nation. Robert, what did you make of our Prime Minister's speech?
I've had people say to me, I think that was the time to seize the moment, and he didn't really do it. But the one message I took out from it was, let's get on with it. And I, you know, for me, that's a head nodder. I think, yeah, that's okay. I don't think it was a particularly memorable speech. But look, and I'm in two minds about all the speeches that were made over the last couple of days. Anyway, one part of me wants to say, in 6 months' time, we'll all be saying, what on earth was that about? Let's get on with normal life. Another part of me wants to say, no, this is an important marker and moment, and let's never diminish, you know, the result and how important it was. So, you know, in true politician fashion, there I am sitting right on the fence.
I don't want to sound negative about this, but has this in any way damaged our reputation more globally?
Oh, I think the reverse. Mm. I mean, people would say, look, they came to it pretty late, and that's true. But, you know, when you look at the fact that, you know, the proportion of Australian people who participated, which is remarkable worldwide, and then the strength of the vote, and then the fact that it is a consistent vote across the whole nation, I think that's a cause for national pride. Mm. We many of us would have preferred that this, you know, happened a lot earlier. A lot of people in the community would prefer that it were not a vote. And you'll recall I argued all the way through that, yes, it's going to be difficult and bruising, and I regret that, but think of the power and the mandate that now has rested with the people. You know, you can't have now politicians cavilling about this result or quibbling about, you know, the edges of how we legislate.
But it's some just, of them are.
Yeah, but that won't get anywhere now. It hasn't got any legs.
Do you think, you know, a very old friend of yours, Tony Abbott, do you think genuinely would he have been surprised by the level of participation?
Well, I was. If he wasn't, I'd be surprised.
In his seat, but the vote in his seat, do you think?
75% in his seat, I think.
Yeah.
No, again,
it's consistent with the demographics, Macca. Absolutely consistent.
Yeah, but, you know,
wise, educated, affluent, it's absolutely consistent.
Yep, it is.
I mean, you know, if you look at where you got the no vote, it was largely in economically progressive but socially conservative seats, and they happen to be Labor held. People who are, you know, not well educated, people who are probably struggling financially, and at the end of the day, this is not the stuff that really, really motivates them.
No.
Can I ask, Robert, if you were representing one of the seats that had the no vote, you know, some of the highest no votes, how would you go about, and you were supporting marriage equality, how would you go about engaging the people in that, in your seat, that had, you know, that in such overwhelming numbers voted no? How would you engage them?
Look, I would still vote yes. I would still vote in the parliament itself. And I know there have been calls that, you know, you've got to vote according to how your seat does. Some people think like that, and there's an element of that. I think what you would try to do is to say, look, I regret your decision as an electorate, and I respect your decision as an electorate. It doesn't happen to be mine. And by the way, we can have that disagreement, and we can agree on all sorts of other things. You know, this is a very important issue, and I recognise how you've voted, but nevertheless, there are many other issues that are before us about, you know, why I should represent you as a Member of Parliament. I think that's about all you can do, and I think you then go into the Parliament and you vote, you know, according to your own conscience. I mean, if there's one thing it says, though, that those seats, difficult though they might be, are out of step with mainstream Australia.
Well, in Victoria, we have the example of two seats that voted no.
Caldwell
MP will vote no. The Bruce MP will vote yes.
Hmm. Who is Caldwell?
Maria Van Vakenu?
No, Maria Van Vakenu. She said she's going to vote yes.
No, she didn't.
Didn't she? I thought I saw that she said she was going to.
Has she changed?
I don't know. This was this week, I thought.
Really?
Yeah, well,
I'd love to see that.
I read it in the paper, so it may or may not be correct.
I have tried to personally engage with her on how she might vote, and she has been silent.
Okay.
Well, Maria?
Yeah.
One of my people.
Oh,
I'm no longer Greek. I announced that a couple of weeks ago.
Did you? Yeah, you're running for Parliament.
I'm no longer Greek.
Now, couple of messages. Tasman Macca loves seeing Penny Wong cry. What a beautiful moment in history. And it was.
By the way, I learned something about Penny Wong that I didn't know this week.
What, that she can cry?
No, well, that's... Oh, you are... Oh, you're cruel. You're good, but you're cruel. No, I didn't know that she used to go out with Jay Weatherall, the Premier of South Australia.
Oh, yeah. He was her last heterosexual lover.
Yeah.
So he obviously did something.
Well, that's...
It must be a South Australian thing. It's got to be a South Australian thing.
I did not know that.
Oh, no, that's been public on the public record.
I know.
A long time, Robert. You need to.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah. They tell me that in parts of the Labor Party, his nickname was what do they call him? LCK, Lesbian Creating Kit.
I haven't heard that before.
Something like that. No, LSK, Lesbian Starter Kit.
Right. So he obviously has a track record of this, hasn't he?
I don't know about that. I do not wish to go down this field of inquiry any further. But I'm sorry I didn't know that, but perhaps I should have.
And we've got one here. Actually, that's spam, that message. Australia has a strong identity of fairness towards GLBTI people. I have the best mayor in the world that treats me equally. Hugs to Robert Doyle.
Oh, isn't that nice? Thank you very much. That's very generous.
That's from Melina. Here's one. As a person from an ethnic background, I'm very disappointed in the no vote from the multicultural communities. Well, from some. We ask for equality but not willing to give it to other minorities. Yani,
do what I did and just don't be Greek anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know something? You can't do that, can you? Because if memory serves...
I've done it.
No.
I've done it.
But if you went back to Greece, you would still be required to do military service, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Well, not at my age, unfortunately.
Oh, you'd be... What's Greek for Dad's army?
Yeah, because, I mean, that shows you how complex... the only reason I know that is my chief of staff is Greek, and as she says, doesn't vote there, doesn't own property there, doesn't have a passport there, doesn't consider herself a Greek citizen. But if her brother were to go back to Greece, he would have to do military service.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, if you stay beyond 3 months.
Yeah.
And when I was 20, I actually did spend 6 months in Greece, but I had to leave the country periodically. And I left every 2 months.
Oh. Mm. Gee.
I reckon he'd look rather fetching in uniform, wouldn't he, Robert? What do you reckon?
Especially with my mo.
I do not feel compelled to answer that question.
Actually, imagine him as one of the seven.
Look, my imagination, has
my
boundaries.
My father was one of them.
Yeah,
I've told you that before.
Yeah,
my father was a royal guard, guardsman.
With the little dress.
There was one criteria. You had to be above 5 foot 10 inches at the time.
Oh. Oh, at any time, really.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.